It kind of tells the tale who is carried by the momentum of a crowd and who is really responding to the Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord. I have been to, you can watch football on a big plasma TV at Best Buy during football season, a 65-inch, and enjoy that game. And you can hear a cheer during football season, and you can just stand over near where those enthusiastic fans are, and you can't help when there's a great play run to get involved in that, because you're carried by the energy of those people gathered. And if you go to a real game, I've never been to a real sports event like that, but I have been to high school football games. I used to play football in junior high. And there's nothing like it. You can get in a crowd of people like that, and they all stand to their feet and start cheering. You can actually feel that energy, and it'll carry you. Their energy will make you want to stand up and cheer. You can go to a conference with 1,500, 2,000, 5,000 people, 10,000 people, and they all get excited. You can feel that energy. You can be carried by that energy. But when you get in a setting like this, that's very small and intimate setting like this, you either respond to the Spirit of God. You're not going to get carried along by the energy of the crowd. Unless I represent a crowd to you and I get that excited, amen. There was a wrestler one time so big he wrestled 3 and 4 minutes one time. They called him the one-man gang. He probably remembers the one-man gang, amen. Well, it's not about anyone stimulating you, amen, except the Holy Spirit and responding to Him, amen. So we're going to continue our study on Let God Arise and His Enemies Be Scattered. I'm going to read this again for the sake of tapes that we're making. And let's just, if I can see it, praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 68 in verse 1. Let God arise, and His enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. Now, there's good news and bad news here. Bad news is God's not going to take up the fight for your enemies unless your enemies are His enemies as well. God is not going to get somebody for persecuting you if He's allowing the persecution to perfect you. So you can't get down and pray, God, get them for me, and expect God to arise and lay it on them. You can't do that. In fact, the Bible said when you're going through trials, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, you know what the Bible said you're to do? Pray God, get them. Figure out some way to seek vengeance or revenge. Number one, he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Doesn't mean that they're going to go scot-free. It means that it's not your determination. It's His. And the Bible said you're supposed to do something else when persecuted. And this is tough stuff right here that I'm going to say to you. Amen. When your name is cast out as evil, when someone is categorizing you as being evil, amen, and you're just doing your best to do good and to be good, amen, and to do the right thing, yet people will fabricate things about you because they want to demean you, they want to hurt you. Now, let me just make this very clear. The word devil should connotate this kind of attitude. The word devil, diabolos, in the Greek means a maligner. It's someone who attacks your character, who wants to destroy your reputation, who wants to kill your credibility. Amen. Satan is a finger pointer. Amen. He's called in the book of Revelation the accuser of the brethren, who, listen to this, accuse them before God day and night. Now let me tell you something that you need to really know. You can't overcome the accuser by being so perfect he has nothing to accuse you of. Amen? There'll always be something that Satan can accuse you of. And he will magnify whatever it is. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be responding to the Holy Spirit's conviction, but we should be rejecting Satan's accusations. How do you overcome him as the accuser? Well, the book of Revelation said, amen, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them. You understand how diabolos, devil, relates to that, a maligner, someone who is attacking? I remember when the comedian, the lady, Carol Burnett, one of the tabloids, one of those tabloids you read at the supermarket on the way out about the three-headed monkey or something like that, or man has a cow or something like that. I think his name was Simpson. I don't know. Anyway, but you read those crazy things. Well, they had written about Carol Burnett that she was absolutely inebriated and at some restaurant and would show up on the set drunk, and all of it was a fabricated lie just to steal headlines and get attention. And she immediately went to court, and you know what she sued them for? Maligning her character. And thereby injuring her future in the television entertainment business, because no one wants to hire someone who's on drugs or someone's going to show up drunk on the set because of all the money invested. And if someone's going down that slippery slope into addiction, no one wants to deal with them. So she sued and won the suit because they maligned her, according to the paper. They maligned her. Well, that's Satan's business, to malign Christ. Amen. What did they say about Jesus, inspired by the devil? They said, the work, oh, he's doing great works, undeniable. He's working miracles, but he's doing it by Beelzebub. He's doing it by the, Beelzebub meant Lord of the Flies, or Lord of Death, is what that word meant. Amen. They were literally saying that he's doing these works because of the devil giving him power. Isn't that incredible that they're trying to malign Jesus? Amen. So he said, if they do this to me, who was sinlessly perfect, what do you think they're going to do to you? But he said, when it happens, oh, by the way, back to Revelation chapter 12. I may not need my glasses after all. Amen. Back to Revelation chapter 12. The Bible said that now is the accuser. Say it with me, the accuser of our brethren cast down. Boy, there's so much I got to say about this. Now, be careful to those people that you know are in false doctrine and you know are living contrary to the Word of God. And when you say one little bitty word about it, they say, don't judge me. You're not accusing them, you're confronting them. There's a difference in accusing someone to malign them and confronting them because you love them and you don't want to see them destroyed. We got an atmosphere out there of don't judge until we can't even be accountable to one another. And we need, in the body of Christ, accountability. I think every sister needs a sister that you can confess your faults to, pray with, and receive counsel from. Amen. And I believe every brother needs a brother that we can account to and receive counsel from. We don't always have that. Amen. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. This is all about interacting and accounting to one another. If I preach false doctrine up here, I should be confronted about that biblically. Amen. And I should be able to biblically defend my position. And I shouldn't feel like I'm being judged or here's a classic too. Number one is don't judge me, which we're not judging the person, we're judging the behavior, we're judging. The Bible said every tree is known by the fruit that it bears. Can you say amen? A good tree can't bring forth evil fruit, and an evil tree can't bring forth good fruit. So make the tree good and its fruit good, or make it evil and its fruit evil. He's in essence saying, I would that you were hot or cold, fruitful or unfruitful. I want you to know where you stand. I want you to be on fire for me, or I want you to admit your backslidden condition. I don't want you trying to live somewhere in that gray, that there is no gray with God. Amen. There's no gray area. Man creates the gray area. You love me or you hate me. You love the world, the love of the Father doesn't dwell in you. There's no gray area for a little love for God and a lot of love for the world, but it'll all work out. There's no gray area. Can you say amen? If you love house, land, mother, father, sister, brother more than me, you can't be my disciple. No gray area. You mean I can't put my house before you, my wife before you, my husband before you, my children before you, my mama, my daddy, my gold, my silver? No, you can't. Not and be my disciple. Amen. You can join the church and give to the building program and get a pat on the head every time you come in the door, but you can't follow Christ. Amen. Thank you. If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself. When is the last time? The Bible said we're to go and make disciples of all nations. Can you say amen? Not just get people in our church to fulfill our programs, but actually make disciples of all nations. What is the first prerequisite for being a follower of Jesus, which is what a disciple is? Amen. Jesus said, deny yourself. When is the last time you saw a great building rented and they're having a series of messages on self-denial and self-sacrifice? You know why we're not seeing anything like that? Because we're not really interested in making disciples to Jesus, unto Him, but getting constituents unto us so that we can fulfill our quote-unquote vision. Well, see, God's vision goes way beyond stone and mortar and big budgets. God's vision is that we become like His Son. Can you say amen? The fivefold ministry is for a reason. You know what the purpose is? Amen. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and grow up into Him and be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but grow up into Him who is the head. Listen to this. To the fullness of the measure of the stature. Can you say amen? Everybody say the fullness of the measure of the stature. The apostle, the prophet. If they're moving in God's true anointing, it's for that singular purpose concerning the church. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, evangelist. One purpose. All of them. Can you say amen? One purpose. Till we all mature spiritually and begin to look and act and talk more like Jesus Christ. Amen? The knot at the end of the rope. Romans 8:28. Say, knot at the end of the rope. If you think you're at the end of the rope, somebody said, when you get to the end of the rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Well, this is that tie a knot in it and hang on scripture. This ties the knot if you take it to heart. Amen. The Bible said, literally, for we know, start out with for we know. Romans 8:28, for we know. It's got to be so settled, for we know that it's unquestionable, so your faith doesn't waver. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. See, you'll never recognize the good in things until you understand His purpose. See, good to you may not have anything to do with His purpose. It might just be, you know, if I get all my bills paid, I get my car that I want, and I get my plasma television, and I get my whatever and my whatever and my whatever, my ducks will all be in a row. Someone asked me, because I'm nearing 62, and it's no secret that I'm going to get a little part-time job with a good insurance program and give my time back to God. If I don't do it before then, it's just about 9.5 months. I'm counting it down on the calendar. About the time it takes to have a child, I'm gonna be able to devote more of my time to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to speaking engagements or whatever God has in the future for this ministry. So if it don't happen one way, it's going to happen the other way. Amen. And so they know it's coming. I let them know at work because I go in every day counting. You know, I was counting my fingers and toes at the first of the year. Now I'm just counting my fingers. Amen. So God is working that, and I'm happy to be where I am and headed where I'm headed. I'm expecting good things from the Lord in spite of all the other things. But God is so good. But the Bible, there's a purpose that God has. Someone asked me, do you have your ducks all in a row? Do you have your ducks all in a row? Amen. And I said, you know something? We ate those ducks. We ate every last one of them. God is going to have to take care of us. Amen. It just, you know, sometimes your ducks don't get in a row. Did you know the unemployment is the layoffs? I mean, the people without work, 69,000 people in February. 69,000 people had jobs, planning to retire, 401k, planning careers, that suddenly are out on the street starting over again. Amen. 69,000. That's an incredible amount to happen in the month of February. That's what's coming out. Right now, the economy, if you want to take a look at the predictions are grim. Amen. Grim and grimmer. There's no good prediction for this economy. And let me tell you something else, too. There's no Superman or Superwoman that can go in all. If God is in what is happening in America to get the church back bowing to Him instead of materialism, to get a message changed and say, you know, we really do need the kingdom first, not my kingdom first, but His kingdom first, His concerns first. That's what made America great. Can you say, Matt? If you take out a dollar bill They said, God's going to bless this country. This is a rich country, and God's going to bless it. But we, when we begin to get rich from His blessing, we've got to keep our priorities. We've got to keep our perspective. Amen. So they had imprinted on every coin, every piece of paper money in the United States of America, something they're lobbying right now to get taken off the coinage and the bills. And you know what it is? In whom? In God we trust. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you want to know about church and state separation, amen, and the real balance of it, the founding fathers who stated it meant that the government isn't going to try to influence or rule the church. It didn't mean that the government wasn't going to quit acknowledging God. Somebody give God praise in here. How do you know that? Because they put in God we trust. That the U.S. Mint, every coin and every piece of paper money. And how we distort what they said to fit a godless society that has an animosity toward accountability to a higher power but wants Him on the scene when there's a crisis. Isn't that incredible? We don't want His lordship, but we want His help. We don't want Him in our politics. We don't want Him in our judicial system. We don't want Him in our scholastic system. But we don't want Him in our universities. They don't even want them to have a come in and ask any young men if they're interested in a military career at Berkeley. They want to ban anyone from coming in, as if the young men who defend this nation and defend all of us so we can live like we live, amen, are evil somehow. And if it wasn't for that, listen, folks, I thank God for every man that puts on a uniform, puts his life on the line. Amen? Are you hearing me? Amen. How do we vilify people who are willing to go to that extreme, amen, in one of our universities here in America? How do we vilify people that we should be admiring? Amen. How do we vilify the soldier who puts his life on the line day in and day out, is willing to pay the ultimate price so that we can live in freedom? We've always fought the enemy there till 9/11. Even the songs that were sung in World War II, one of the songs was over there, because every battle was fought over there. Amen. In England, it was different. It wasn't over there. You were part of the there in England. And people went into the underground shelters when the sirens, and there was bombings of cities in England and in France. But not America. No one had to go to a bomb shelter. There wasn't even a bomb shelter available in America. They came up with something great during the Cold War, and the bomb situation was worse. Then we had nuclear stuff. And when I was in school, we had dog tags. So I guess if they find our remains, you know, they could identify us or whatever. All the kids were issued dog tags like the military, with your name and your whatever on it, you know, your address and who you are. And we were told, and we had drills that in case of a nuclear attack, get this, get on the floor, get under your desk. But, you know, looking back on that, I thought, boy, that is really, is that the very, I mean, get under your desk. That's like getting under this chair. And there's a nuclear attack on Tampa. You know, a nuclear attack is imminent. Get under the chair. Get under the chair. No, we got to get under something more substantial than the chair, more substantial than a bomb shelter. You know what we need? Listen, amen. Because thou hast made, we need to get dwelling back again. Let God arise. We need to get dwelling back again under the shadow of His wings. Can you say amen? Nationally, personally, the church needs to get her bearings again and understand. See, I heard one preacher preach it this way, and I thought he made a good point. He said, what we've done down through the years, said we've been drifting from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We've been drifting to the message, away from the message of the cross. Sometimes you go across the dial on Sunday morning and you're hard-pressed to hear anything about the cross of Jesus Christ, particularly in the Spirit-filled camp, the people who should be promoting the cross above everything else. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said, He will do what? He will testify of whom? Of me. He's going to talk about Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit is able to truly have His way through the anointing, Jesus is going to be exalted. I said Jesus is going to be here exalted. You're going to hear about Jesus, not just principles of faith, but the person of faith, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Can you say amen? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the A to Z. Hallelujah. Wow. When God stands up for a nation, everything changes. We've been drifting. But as one preacher put it, he said, you know, we compare ourselves. We don't look at how far we've drifted. We look at the other ships. We look at the other ships. We can still see that one and that one and that one and that one. This prominent ministry, this prominent denomination, we're all close to one another. And said what we got our eyes off of is not how close we are to the other vessels, but how far we are from the shore. Amen. Honey, every denomination has drifted and is drifting from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In our radio ministry, I quoted again myself in a previous sermon. If I was going to write a book on what has happened, the apostasy, what has happened to the church, one of the titles of a chapter would be "What Ever Happened to Heaven?" What happened to the message of heaven? Heaven ought to be, amen, so, I mean, that's where we're all going. And we're going, it's a quick trip. I'm 61, going on 62. And my mother is 80 today. Amen. And the whole, everything is changing. Folks, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're stepping up a little higher, a little closer to heaven. Every time a previous generation passes on, we step forward to fill those shoes. And if you haven't looked at your shoes lately, a lot of people now are in grandpa and grandma's shoes. And there's some people in great, I'm a great grandpa. That don't mean I'm just a good grandpa. I'm an actual great grandpa. Can you say amen? I heard a song one time and told about somehow or another, I am my own grandpa. I never figured that quite out. I'm still waiting for a revelation on that. But we're all moving. Where are we going? Are we going to the grave? Are we going to our demise? No, we're getting ready for our departure. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, we're getting closer to Him and we're getting closer to home, and that means we're getting closer to heaven. And whatever happened to heaven, can you say amen? Heaven is what the saints are supposed to have in view. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 4. If you be risen with Christ, that means you've been born from above. You're born again. You've experienced resurrection power. You were dead in trespasses and sins, but He hath, Ephesians 2 said, raised you. Amen. And the same Spirit that raised Him has raised you. So you are risen with Christ. Can you say amen? This is leap year. Easter is coming early. I feel that message coming on. We're not just going to celebrate His resurrection, but our resurrection, because we've been raised with Him. And the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Hallelujah. Amen. So whatever happened to heaven would be a chapter. It'd be another chapter. Whatever happened to hell? Does it not exist? Do sinners not go there? And if sinners go there, why are we not brokenhearted and passionate and proclaiming the cross? Can you say amen? If sinners go there, if it doesn't exist anymore, if hell has literally froze over, then there should be no concern for the damned and the dying. But if hell is real and people are going to spend eternity in a living torment, you know, it is so absolutely incredible that not only don't we preach it, but we put down people who do. There's a label for people who even mention hell in the Christian culture of today. Fire and brimstone preachers. And fire and brimstone preachers are relegated to a former time. This is not in vogue, not in view, not acceptable in the Christian climate and culture of the 21st century. Because we don't want to bother anyone. Honey, listen. Folks, the doctors bother you. Real quick, cancer is going to touch 1 in 3 people. 1 in 3. Amen. If you don't get it, you're going to know someone close to you that does in your lifetime. Violent crime is also going to touch 1 in 3 people. Incredible. Somebody is going to get robbed at gunpoint. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to... This is reality. And they don't pull any punches by telling you about reality. Patrick Swayze has pancreatic cancer. I mean, he's been this picture of health. But now something's going to eat away at his body. What's really important then becomes his soul. The body's got to pass sooner or later somehow. But the soul's going to live forever somewhere. We put so much stock in keeping the body fit and keeping trying and so little for our soul. What would man give, Jesus said, in exchange for his soul? I've even heard preachers preach away that was about eternity and punishment, and it was more about your soul just being your mind being enlightened. When you don't have these revelations from God, then you're just living in carnality, and the man is sacrificing his intellectual completeness for not having this revelation. No, this is about where you're going to spend eternity. Jesus did not get into the mysticism. He didn't get into anything that is above anyone understanding. He talked so straight and so practical, we dare not even hardly preach what he said anymore without people labeling you fire and brim. What happened to heaven when the saints used to say, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share, what rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. That means cemetery is going to give up those bodies, amen, and those spirits that's been with him waiting for this are reunited with that new glorified body caught up to meet him in the air. What rejoicing there will be, hallelujah, when with all the heavenly hosts we begin to singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. And won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One? Won't it be wonderful there? Whatever happened to heaven? My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Amen. And let others seek a home below, which waves, fire devours and waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I plan to take a trip on the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Hallelujah. Whatever happened to heaven? You might tune in a Gaither special and see some people that are pushing 80 singing about heaven. But don't tune in a hotshot gal and guy on TV and look for anything about heaven, because these people are not heavenly minded. Colossians 3 says you need to be. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are, everybody point above. Amen. Every Christian should have a arrow right here. Amen. Up. If you be risen with Christ, your whole life should be moving upward. Amen. Everything awaits you above. Praise God. It all awaits you above. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I know that city is going to come down, but until the New Jerusalem comes down, amen, God wants you pointed that way. If you be risen with Christ, if you're a genuine, authentic Christian, can you say amen? Amen. Seek those things above that are above where Christ sits. How do you seek the things that are above? You start laying up your treasure above. Can you say amen? Don't lay up your treasure below on the earth, where the moth corrupts and the thief breaks through and steals. Can you say amen? Amen. But lay up your treasure where? Lay up your treasure in heaven. Let all of your riches, amen, be laying up there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because where a man's treasure is, what he prioritizes, what he values, where his treasure is, what happens? There's his heart. Can you say amen? His heart is in what he values. Make sure you value, amen, that's eternal. Hallelujah. Not that's going to pass away. And then the world can never steal your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence out of it or the issues of life. If you be risen with Christ, Colossians 3, verse 1, seek those things that are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set, verse 2, set, it's called keeping your heart, keeping centered, set your affections. Amen? Because what you love is what your energy, your time, what you're going to prioritize, what you love is going to hold you and have you. God says love heaven more than earth. Can you say? One great preacher of old says, people are always talking about aiming too high. He said, listen, if you aim at earth, that's all you're going to get. But if you aim at heaven, you're going to get heaven and his blessing upon the earth. Set your affection. And by the way, when you set your affection on something, that's what you talk about. The abundance of the heart, mouth speaketh. If somebody can only talk about cars and land and houses, they don't know anything about the kingdom. This is blind leading the blind because, amen, except you become as a little child, you will what? You won't even see the kingdom. You go to Bible college, you can't see the kingdom. Can't see the trees for the forest. Amen. Amen. You can't see afar off. You can only see the immediate blessings of God. You can't see the eternal blessings of God. And what sustained the saints when the immediate blessings seem slim sometimes was the eternal blessings that never change. This world changes. Your body's going to change. Amen. I'm here without glasses, having to depend totally on the Holy Ghost. Probably one of the better sermons I've ever preached. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's good. Praise God. I could always have this dear brother read. I could have Doug read scripture if I need it read. Praise God. Whatever happened to heaven? Whatever happened to heaven? Whatever happened to heaven? Nothing's happened. It's still above us. It's still our long home. It's still the place where Jesus is going to sit down with us and have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Our loved ones will be there. We'll all be there. It's a city. It's not a state of mind. It is a city, a literal city. And John saw it and described it in literal terms. Can you say amen? It's a cube. 1,500 miles across in any direction and 1,500 miles high. Woo! There's not just room at the cross for you. There's room in that city for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Give you a perspective on 1,500 miles. Start in Orlando and MapQuest and go to Denver, Colorado. That's 1,500 mile trip. Orlando to Denver, Colorado. Wide this way and wide that way. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. And then it goes straight up for 1,500 miles. What a city. Amen? Wow. And no wonder there's going to be no more sea. We're going to need some space down here. You know why? Because that city, John said, I saw it up there. But then I saw something really that freaked me out. That's a modern day version. Can you say amen? You know what it was? He said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem that I just described. Amen. I saw it coming down out of heaven. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And that city that rests up there somewhere is coming down here. Amen. Wow. We're going to live here. You think you're going to live in the clouds or some planet beyond our solar system, you're wrong. That city's coming here in the book of Revelation. Amen? The earth, he's made for man. God started it with a man on this earth, and this earth being the way he wanted it, he's going to make it good again. And he's going to let that city rest upon this earth. Wow. We're coming back with him to rule and to reign with him because we have suffered with him. and for Him. So whatever happened to heaven, whatever happened to hell? Whatever happened to hell? Whatever happened to preaching that talked about where the lost spend eternity? Jesus talked about hell more than heaven, if you want to do the math in the New Testament. But you would hardly hear any of His quotes about it. Why? Because it's unpopular. People may not want to come to your church if it makes them uncomfortable thinking about their lost condition. And yet the Holy Spirit was sent into this world to convict the world of sin, to make people uncomfortable in their sinful condition. If someone is smoking, they should read everything that medical science knows about what it does to your lungs and your body. You should be uncomfortable lighting up, not made comfortable. I remember in the early days, you get some Life magazines or magazines from the 50s and 40s. Doctors in white coats are talking about, are advertising tobacco. But right now, see, you don't go into Carolinas and preach against tobacco because that's a cash crop. Nobody can grow anything but it and make the money they want. Amen? But listen to me, folks. It's killing tens of thousands of people annually. Some people survive, but a lot of people don't. Incredible, incredible. Alcoholism is killing more people than you can imagine on the highways. But there's tax on the alcohol, and we're not about to come down on it too very hard. Money is still corrupting everything good and everything moral and everything right. And that don't mean we need to be paupers. We just need to understand money is not top shelf with God. Your soul is top shelf with God. Your well-being is top shelf with God. He doesn't want you hurt in this life, and He doesn't want you damned when this life is over. But there is a place called heaven, and it's real. And there is a place called hell, and it is real. And how dare we preachers opt to not preach on something that is real and that every sinner without Christ is going to end up in. Amen. I can't conceive of being tortured for eternity. I can't conceive of being tortured for 6 hours like Jesus was hanging on that cross. I can't conceive of that. That 6 hours would seem like an eternity to me. But just think, if you're in a place, amen, where you're in a body which can't die. Did you know there's a resurrection of the unjust that's never mentioned? Yeah. Revelation chapter 20, the sea gave up her dead. And the earth gave up its dead. Everybody that's ever died, I'm talking about the unjust, the unsaved, the unregenerate, the sea gives them up. Death doesn't keep them from the judgment. They have to come alive and serve a sentence. Amen? There are people hang themselves in jail because they can't stand the thought of serving the sentence. Well, there's a time, even during the tribulation, God says, no, no, you're not going to let death stop this. Men will seek death during the tribulation. And death will what? Flee from them. You jump out the 10-story window, it really hurts when you hit the ground. You expect flat blackness, and suddenly you're in a world of pain, but you're alive. Am I biblical? Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, whatever happened to that? Jesus said there's a place called outer darkness. And I know what it sounds like. There's a cacophony of sound. There's weeping, wailing, and gritting and gnashing of teeth. Someone asked me at work, said, don't you believe that hell is just not living for God and all the hurt that sin brings on this earth, that we all, hell is here for those people? I said, no. No, hell is a place. And everyone who was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life were consigned to that place. And we preach and live as if that place is non-existent. On our local television channel, Channel 22, they had a guest, and they have disclaimers on there that it's not necessarily the views of the station. I'm not condemning the station. I don't know where their doctrinal stands are, everyone involved in that station, but I know the doctrinal stand of the man that was on there, who was a national evangelist. And you know what he said? He said, we don't talk about hell. We don't mention that. You're not going to get the businessman to come in your church. And well, see, you're not out to get the businessman to come to church so you can build a bigger church. You're out to get people, amen. Listen, who hath warned you, John the Baptist said, to flee what? The wrath to come. Can you say amen? In the gospel, there is a warning. When Paul preached, the Bible said Felix trembled when he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and what? Judgment to come. Can you say amen? Amen. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we know how the judgment's going to go. Can you say amen? Everyone who was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Outside Jerusalem, there was a dump site. They took everything to that dump site, and they set it on fire. They kept adding to it and adding to it until the fire never went out. Even when it wasn't flaming, it was smoldering. And down underneath all of that, where the decay was, there was the worms. And the Bible said the fire never stops, and the worm does never die. And that means the soul lives on in a state of torment. And we got people sitting down thinking, would it be profitable for me to serve God or not? Would I have to quit my dishonest business dealings? Would I have to give up my affair with my secretary if I started going to church? I'm not ready to make those kind of sacrifices. And Jesus shakes his head because he taught about hell and he taught about heaven. Heaven isn't presented as the incentive. It's something, some immediate gratification of a felt need. Heaven is not the grand incentive of serving God anymore in the new church culture of the 21st century. And hell is not even a doctrinal issue. It's not mentioned. Hell is never mentioned at funerals. Nobody, but nobody. I don't care how they've lived. They're up there. I even wrote a song not too long ago about all the country artists. And I mean, they're so good and so pretty. They have to be in heaven. Oh, really? You have to receive Jesus to go to heaven, last time I read the Bible. And you have to show that you've received Him by following Him. Not legalism, it's just a change has to come within. Amen? The priorities are supposed to change. The affections are supposed to be set on things above. It's not throwing in Amazing Grace at the end of a set at Las Vegas and claiming Christianity. Well, a bunch of inebriated people get teary-eyed for a minute, just for a minute before they hit the slots again and the blackjack table. Whatever happened to heaven? If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not things of the earth. And verse 4 says of Colossians 3, mortify therefore your members which are fallen to the earth. That means put to death the deceitful desires of the flesh and begin to walk in the freedom of the Spirit. I guarantee you if the Holy Spirit has His way in our life, He'll keep us focused on things above. I'm laying up treasure in heaven this morning. I'm obeying God. I'm where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing for Jesus Christ. And right now I'm laying up my reward. I started to say I may not get it all here. I'm going to go beyond that and say I do not expect to get it all here because it's not going to all happen here. Amen. I'm living for that city. Abraham looked for a city. Woo! God made him rich, but he dwelt in tabernacles. He dwelt in tents because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He lived his life on earth expressing his faith in a city. Looking for a city where we'll never die, where the sainted millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. Here among the shadows, in a barren land. We're a band of pilgrims on the move. Toward what? Toward home, toward heaven. Whatever happened to heaven? I'll tell you, when true revival comes, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to start celebrating heaven. Going to start thinking about going home. For our citizenship is in heaven. Wow! We're aliens, pilgrims, strangers. I beseech you, as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the eternal man, the soul. Can you say amen? If you don't see yourself as a pilgrim and stranger, you're part of earth's culture. You're part of earth's society. But if you see yourself as part of heaven's society, amen, then you're not of the world. Everybody say, dun, 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 dun. Can you say amen? Aliens! Glory be to God. Just here to represent Him. Amen. Our home is in heaven. We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. When I was 12 years old, I took my first trip to Washington, D.C. When I was in my 30s, I took my second trip to Washington, D.C. When I was 12, I just discovered girls, pulling their hair and throwing spit wads at them, you know, there was other things that, you know, they were kind of nice. And so I missed all the sights except one little blonde-haired girl. Anyway, we went on a train from the school safety patrol, and they picked me, who wasn't a captain or a sergeant of school safety patrol. I was a private. And the school got to vote that year. Last time they ever let them vote, the principals and the teachers from then on did it, who got to go to Washington, D.C., because I never took nobody in. I never reported anybody for anything. Amen. But I was a good crossing guard. Nobody got hurt when I put my little pole down and they crossed. Nobody got hurt. Amen. But they all loved me because they could run. And I said, quit that running. And they just keep running. And I'd say, go ahead and run. If you break your leg, don't tell them I didn't stop you. Amen. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Just think about it. That's an oxymoron. Amen. That's not a dumb ox either. That's something else. He'll explain it to you after the service. Can you say amen? I even got him laughing. If I get a laugh out of him, I'm doing well today. My preaching is good because he's in the educational system, and it'll wear on you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But God is good. But I didn't notice any of those things. But when I went back in my 30s for a preaching thing, preachers from all over America went, I began to appreciate all these sights. And one thing, I went by the Russian embassy. Where the ambassador from Soviet Russia, he's in that embassy. You know what I found out about that embassy? There are guards out in front, and they're in Russian uniforms, and they carry Russian-made weapons. And did you know what? That little piece of land that is designated for that ambassador, did you know what that piece of land is as far as the Soviet Union is concerned? That is Soviet soil, even though it's here in America. That ambassador and that piece of land where he lives makes that Soviet soil. And an act of aggression against that. Let God arise. Say it. We're getting back to our subject. Let God arise. And His enemies be. Listen to this. And listen, if you go in there and try to hurt people inside there, amen, and even though it's here in America, that is an act of aggression and even considered maybe an act of war against the USSR. That is their turf. Even though they're in America, let me tell you something. If the church get this thing right, every one of us are called what? The ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Where is our citizenship? Our citizenship is in heaven. What is your home and mine? It's an embassy, and I believe it's guarded. If we'll put this thing first and get the kingdom first so God can manifest His power, it's guarded. Well, what kind of uniform do they wear? Most people who saw them said they had on white robes. What kind of weapons do they carry? Ancient weapons. Most people that saw them said they had mighty swords. Can you say amen? Halabakoshandara. But when they stretch forth their hands, mighty events take place. The angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear Him to deliver them as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. The Lord is round about His people. Somebody shout amen this morning. My humble home, 1,250 square feet in a garage converted for my son and my mother and my dad and my other mother-in-law. It's an embassy. Because of my faith in Christ, am an ambassador. And whoever touches me, touches him. Everybody say, whoever touches me, touches him. If you don't believe that, ask Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. When Jesus appeared on the road to Damascus, he had papers authorizing him to arrest and even authorize the death of Christians. That's what he was on his way to do. But he met a man. Can you say, man, like no man he'd ever met before, began with a light of the glory of Jesus Christ, like the brighter than the noonday sun, that knocked him off his beast and down there groveling in the dirt, blinded by the light, he heard a voice, and that voice said this. He said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus. This is after he ascended. They can't hurt him no more. They can't beat him no more. They can't put nails in his hands and feet anymore. He's ascended. He's in a glorified body. But what does he say? He says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. In other words, when you touch her, when you touch him, you're touching me. Can you say, man, they are my ambassadors. Amen. Their citizenship is not of this world. Their citizenship is in this world to come. In fact, in the holy heavenly city, their names are already recorded. Let God arise. The church gets back to heaven. And the church preaches to the lost and tells them the truth about hell. And we are not ashamed to teach what he taught again. I believe, and we see ourselves as pilgrims and strangers, and we see ourselves as ambassadors of Jesus, and we set our affections on things above and not the things of the earth. And we don't start comparing. Oh, well, if I go to church regularly, they expect me to give. Well, if I go to church regularly, they expect me to be there on Sunday. And I'm so tired at the end of the week. When you consider, amen, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? How did our concept of eternal things get so absolutely eroded? How did we drift so far that the soul doesn't become the supreme issue of our life? Churches right now, there's Starbucks on the campuses. I mean, you got to have everything. If you're going to get the yuppie, you've got to make it yuppicized. Amen? No, let's don't make them drive 6 blocks to the Starbucks. Let's have it on the campus of the church, because we just want these people to come in and have a good time. And I remember a prominent minister who was controversial because of his stand on some of these issues, saying one time he was invited to, when the mega churches just started, and every mega church is not bad. There are some mega churches preaching these heaven and hell issues, but they are few and far between. Amen. And what you find inside of them is dedicated people whose heart is set on heaven. Amen, because there's all these alternatives today. Amen. And they are called fire and brimstone preachers. And if anyone has a prophetic message that a judgment would possibly come on America, that this nation could possibly be judged, he's out of sync with the Spirit. Only good things. How many times have you turned on your TV and heard a false prophet? Are you calling them that? If it don't come to pass, it's false. Stand up and say, in 1995, this is the year that the wealth of the world is going to be given the church. Baloney! 96, this is the year. Didn't happen. Baloney! 97, baloney! 8, baloney! 2000, baloney! 2005, baloney, baloney, baloney! 2007, this is the year. Pour it in because it's coming back by the truckload. Baloney. This is the greatest year. Get ready for the breakthrough. Baloney. Only repentance will bring a breakthrough. And it won't start with gold and silver. It'll start with a Holy Ghost revival. And the blind lead the blind. How do you know the people following are blind? Because they can't see. They just follow it along. They never question the leadership and the doctrine, because they listen to tapes and TV rather than reading their Bible. They know little about Jesus, but a lot about their leader. Some say, I'm a Paul. They got it wrong. As great as he was, even they got it wrong. Some say, I'm of Apollos. They got it wrong. Paul said, you both got it wrong. Who is Paul? He actually said, you're just like men. In other words, just like the unregenerate, when you hold persons and personalities instead of Christ in view. Can you say amen? One plants, another waters. God gives the increase, and God alone. So who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Wow. Whatever happened to heaven? I'll tell you something. Heaven gets so sweet as your life goes on. Right now, heaven, I'm just 61, but heaven's getting sweet to me because, you know, sometimes in the break room, everybody grabs the good parts of the paper, and the only thing that's left is the obituary. My mother used to get up every morning, and I asked her, I said, why do you start with the obituary? She said, to make sure I'm not in there. Even though she was morbid, she had a sense of humor about her morbidity. Can you say, man? Someday, you're going to be in there. I like what C.H. Spurgeon said about the obituaries, by the way. He said, D.L. Moody, someday you're going to read that D.L. Moody is dead. He said, don't you believe it? He said, I shall have gone up higher. That is all. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. That's when we talked about heaven. Amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. Whosoever liveth, whoever liveth and believeth in him will never die. That's why Moody said, I'm going to go up higher, but death is not going to touch me. Because I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. My home is an embassy. My home is in heaven. That's why Paul said, the time of my departure, I'm going home. Isn't it amazing how we talk? I've told this before, but it may go online. I don't know. We may have run out of time on the disc, but it's amazing how we talk when preachers are around, how we spiritualize things. We use that lingo and that language. God wants us to have it real in our heart, but, you know, you can get used to using the proper language. You know what to say. How do you feel today? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Oh, really? Well, you know, may I say you don't look fine. But anyway, I wouldn't say that. But, you know, a lot of people got that pat answer. You know, we preach a message on repentance. Everybody seems to be fine. Isn't it amazing? we're doing well. Praise God. Oh, the blessings of the Lord are flowing. Oh, the joy is unspeakable. The peace is undisturbed. I don't think so. I think we're needy people. I think we need a revival. I think we need God's help. I think we ought to be like the lady that told the pastor, how are you, Sister Susie? She said, I'm somewhere between help me, Jesus, and praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's the most honest answer I've heard in a long time. Most of us live somewhere between help me, Jesus, and praise the Lord. But just, that's not a bad thing if you can praise him anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fact is, if he can't help you, there's no way you can keep praising him. I forgot where I was going, but we'll get back to it if the Lord wants it. If it isn't, it wasn't worth saying anyway. Praise God. God is so good. God is so good. Whatever happened to heaven? Whatever happened to hell? Whatever happened to the eternal issues? Whatever happened to Colossians 3? When's the last time you tuned in television and heard, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God? When have you heard someone describe to you the glories of your home? Ah, isn't that a sweet bird singing? He heard me say praise and just set him off. Hallelujah. Amen. When's the last time you've heard a descriptive word about your home, your heavenly home? Heaven's getting sweeter. The journey getting sweeter every day. Amen. Men on battlefields have to reach beyond this world. When they take up arms, they may fall in battle. Chaplains are telling from the war in Iraq of services they've held out in the boonies and how many men come together to hear what America has put on bottom shelf. Trust Christ. And even if you fall in battle, He will embrace you and take you home. Amen. I want to send revival to this nation that is drifting, drifting, drifting away from the spiritual, away from the eternal. And continuing to drift as if judgment will never come, as if death will never cancel man's plans upon the earth. Woe to those that say, we will go into this city and we will build. You don't know what another day brings. You should acknowledge me and say, if the Lord wills. Preachers that never mention heaven and never mention hell have nothing else to talk about between those two poles to me. As far as I'm concerned, even the right things they say are coming from someone who doesn't have a spiritual lens to look through. The Bible said there are things that are earthly, sensual, felt needs, having to do with the earth, immediate gratification, have little, if anything, to do with eternal things. So the sinner is not shaken any longer because he's not confronted with the reality of his destination. And the Christian is not excited about heaven because heaven is not part of our itinerary. Not part. So you have to go back to way back somewhere to read a sermon on heaven. And yet, that's where our names are recorded. And that's where, how many want to go there? Amen. Can you say amen? I want to go there. So I want to talk about that place because I can't stay here. Can you say amen? Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Say that with me. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. You know why you don't want to die even though you know you're going to heaven? Because God didn't create you to die. Death is an enemy. It's called the last enemy is the death of your body. The death of your soul has been conquered. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the body's going to be conquered. But nobody can stay here. There was three guys talking about, a guy that had died at work. And there had been to a funeral. There was a beautiful eulogy. And they were sitting around the table talking after the funeral that knew him. And three guys started talking about this. And they said, one guy asked the other two, said, what would you like said on your eulogy? Said about you at your funeral. And the one guy said, I would like to be known as a man who helped others. I've always tried to share whatever God has given me with other people, and I would like to help others. And I would like it to be noted that I was a philanthropist. I did things to help needy people. I gave to organizations that help people in need. And then the moderator said, well, I was thinking myself, I've always taken such good care of my family. I sent two sons to college, and I worked two jobs to do that. And I took care of my wife and got our home paid for. And we're getting ready to retire now, and I've got all my ducks in a row, but I've worked hard to do that, and I don't mind it. Self-sacrifice. I'd like that to be noted, amen, at my eulogy. And then the guy looked over, both of them looked over at the third guy and said, well, what would you like at your eulogy and at your funeral? And he says, I would like for the minister to come to the pulpit and look down in that casket and say, look, he's moving. Nobody wants to die because you were not created to die. Even though heaven is our home, I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm looking forward to heaven. And since I got to die anyway, I'm glad I'm going there. But we wasn't created to embrace death. We were created to embrace life. God didn't make Adam to die. Sin poisoned that. God made him to live forever. And that's why he's going to bother. There's a celestial body waiting for you, but you're not going to stay in it. Can you say amen? The body that went into the ground has got to come out of the ground. God is going to have what Adam lost back. Amen. God is going to be the ultimate conqueror of even death. And people turn into dust. Job said, it ain't going to matter a bit in the world. Skin worms eat the flesh off my bones. When he stands up, I'm standing up. Somebody went beside Beethoven's grave. Where is it? In Germany? Wherever it is? Beethoven? He doesn't play Beethoven. I'm glad he don't. I don't think I could take a whole lot of Bach and Beethoven on Sunday morning. But anyway, there's good music. Don't get me wrong. But I like praise music on Sunday. Praise God. And some of that may be meant to praise. Some of it, I don't know which from which. But Beethoven. And someone went and heard something real weird sounding. Heard music, but it sounded weird. And he put it on tape and tried to figure out if it was backward masking and where was it coming from. And it was just music, but it didn't sound like music. It sounded like music that you just, back when they backward masked to hide messages, and so they got this so-called, scholar to come in, and scientific person to come in, all these people, and they came up with it, says, says, I know what you're hearing now. He said, he's decomposing. Now, that don't deserve a laugh. That's just to help us. You know what's going to happen? You could put you in a vault.